everyone, and welcome back. This is Julie Bates with the podcast Training the Pointing Labrador, episode number 310. And today's episode will be part two, not the final part, I have determined, part two of force fetching a dog yourself. And I got a lot of feedback on the first one, and it was fun. And I got some good feedback. I got some feedback from some people that know a lot about force fetch, which was appreciated and enjoyed. I love when folks do that. So thank you for that. Try to incorporate some of the ideas I was given. But I wanted to get something across because people force fetch different ways. And after that, you know, I had somebody say, well, I don't do it at all like you do it. And I get to thinking about those things. And the person that had said, yeah, I do it real differently than you. And that's not a problem. You do what works, right? There is not just one way that you have to do that. I'd be the first person to say that. But some of the differences between what you hear from people is because if it's an amateur person, and I'm not saying that in a negative way, there's some amateurs that are better than most of the pros out there, but somebody that's just basically trained their own dogs, or their own dogs and a few of their puppies they've had, so they really know the dog and they're really connected with them. A lot of people develop a way to get this going through the relationship they have with their own dog. You know, when I first did those little German dogs that I did when I was a kid, you know, and had to get them, I was kind of force fetching them, you know, where they'd go retrieve something and bring it back and deliver it a hand, jumping over jumps and whatever. But, you know, and I thought I was force fetching, and I was, but I did what was necessary for them to go get the wooden dowels or whatever. But I did what it took, and, you know, so thought I was pretty good at that stuff. When I first got my first dogs, I had my own field trial dogs. They were really, really good. And they were really, when I learned this other way, you know, a little bit, you got to be able to go bring a cackling pheasant back and not set it down, kind of force fetch, a little more oomph to it. And I did it with those dogs, and it was easy. It was easy. I thought it was a shoot. This force fetch, nothing. I don't know what people are talking about. And then when I started doing it for other people and for other dogs and lots of dogs, then I found out I really didn't know how to do it at all. And I had to actually learn how to do it. And one of the points that some of my mentors of back then made very clear to me when I first started training other people's dogs was, this is a different thing. When you are training a dog for someone else, you have to train all of the elements that you are training so very thoroughly and so very solidly so that they will do this behavior for their owner or for anyone. And to accomplish that, it's not just the relationship I had with the dog. It's the relationship the dog has to this process. And it needs to be thorough and solid so that they will carry out this behavior for whoever is running them, assuming they're at least reasonably capable of running a dog. And force fetch done correctly doesn't have to be reviewed, revisited, reminded. It's like reading. If you learned how to read, no one has ever had to go back and reteach it a little bit or revisit letters and phonetics and all of that, how that works. You know how to read, you learn how to read, and then you read the rest of your life. And frankly, force fetch is mostly, if you do it correctly, it isn't a go-back thing. So I've seen a lot of people where, well, you need to go get, that dog's not force-fetched. Or when they drop a bird out in the field, everyone says they're not force-fetched. And it's rarely, is it really that? But that poor dog's going to go through the force-fetch thing again. And then they'll find it still drops a bird out in the field and they don't want to come back and all that. That's a whole other problem. But the reason that in the process I'm talking about that I break it down into each component the best I can and really emphasize one step at a time and being very thorough and making sure the dog is very clear in it, because then when you're through this process, your dog is force fetched and things get delivered to hand, and when you reach down and take it, they give it to you, and it's sort of done deal for the rest of the dog's life. So when I really learned that, how do you force fetch a dog so that when it goes on with the owner and they go do stuff with it and they shoot a duck and it's not dead or a pheasant or a goose, you know, they still believe they need to get it back to you and give it to you and not just turn it loose somewhere in your general vicinity. So that's what I'm talking about here. A process like reading, really learn to read well and understand, and then move on with what that tool that you have. So that's the approach that I'm talking about on force fetch here. A way to do it that's broken into little pieces and everything is very solid, and then you can move on and not have problems in anything you do afterwards. I want to make that point clear. So we ended the last session with teaching your dog, having good obedience so you are not battling obedience. You don't want to battle two things and be teaching two things at the same time. That's hard as a human, and it's very hard on a dog going, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be getting out of this. Your obedience is good. You've taught the dog that you say the word fetch, right? You always tell them what you want them to do. You don't just grab them and slam it in their mouth. There's no way that they can control anything when you do that. And that was one of the comments I got from a knowledgeable person. You know, they said, in these processes and all the other ones that come after it, we're teaching them that they can manage, they can control the pressure. They control the pressure by responding. But the only way a dog can learn to control all training pressure is if you teach them that they do. And the first step to doing that is to tell them what you want. And so now, you know, when you're doing just this hold thing, you say fetch. That means this thing goes in your mouth. Take it in your mouth. They aren't going to reach for it right in the beginning. Some do. And generally, they won't, particularly when you start kind of bearing down on them a little bit. You say fetch. You put it in their mouth. Pull their lip up out of the way. Leave it in their mouth. Take the hand. It should be within a couple days where you don't have to hold the jaws on the bumper. Now you've got your hand. You're holding onto the head, the collar, whatever you've got on there. You're holding onto that. And the other hand is underneath the lower jaw, making sure the bumper does not get spit out. And just as a reminder, don't let dogs, when you're teaching them something, do the wrong thing. Spitting something out is the wrong thing. So don't let them do it. Because if they spit it out and you put it back, and they spit it out and you put it back, well, then that's what you're teaching them. So it goes in their mouth, you say fetch, you put it in, you say hold, because now that's what we want them to do. And that's not hold, 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 right? Just nagging the crap out of them is not going to teach them hold. Tell them what you want, hold. You can make sure that shut that lower jaw with the flat of your hand underneath, keep it under there. As soon as you can pull it off that chin, Just a little bit, 1 inch away below, so that as soon, and you're watching them 100% of the time, as soon as they get a little angsty, just say hold, and just real quick, just thump that flat of your hand under their jaw to reinforce the jaws stay closed. Do it in a calm manner. Don't get all emotional or crazy in any of this stuff. Have this pre-planned in your head before you do it. Because if you're just sitting there going, okay, I don't know what's going to happen, and you're not ready when stuff does, have in your mind, this dog has to hold this bumper. I'm not going to let them spit it out because I don't want them to learn that. I'm also not just going to clamp my hands over their jaws or they can't breathe or anything else. You know, you've got to, as soon as you can, as soon as they are willing to just hold on to that, then pull that, you know, don't hold their jaw shut. Have that hold on to their head so you got control. And then keep that hand underneath. So as soon as they look like they want to, even if they're thinking about rolling that thing out of their mouth or dropping it, just again, the flat of your hand against that under their chin, just bump it, hold. So we're teaching them, hold. Always say, don't just bump their jaw. Tell them why you are applying training pressure. Because even just a bump in the jaw shut, that's training pressure. So always tell them why. Hold, bump that a little bit. Until they'll do that. Do not, you know, and then you begin to take your hand a little bit away. I would always just have it going down beneath them. They can't really see that. And as soon as I see them looking to get, wanting to let it go, that hand comes back up. Hold, bump my hand, my open palm against the bottom of their jaw. and then pull it back. We're teaching them to do this on their own. They will not learn to do it on their own if you're constantly just doing, holding it for them. So just keep that hand ready, bump it, hold, keep it calm, teach them to do that. So that may take a few days. And if they get crazy again, remember, really get them in enforced sit. You know, just jerk on that collar, even though they're sitting. Yes, even though they're sitting. Because if they're getting all like, I got to get this out of my mouth, I'm going to panic. And then you kind of get them on sit. Their mind is off that. And it's back calmed on sit. I mean, I'm sitting. A dog does not sit there like you would do and go, I was sitting. And now, they don't do that. They're just mind is back on sitting. It's off their mouth. Often calms them down a lot. You need to get the dog where you can have them sitting there holding that bumper. You can step away, come back. You can take it out of their mouth with a command, whatever you want. Drop, take it out. Do not let them, if they lock jaw on you, just use the leverage on their jaw, open their mouth up, and then say drop or whatever you say, take it out. Then you should be able to put it back, fetch, open their jaw, put it back in, you step away. Get that part in there while they're stationary. You know, and not effusive praise. Praise is good. You know, when they're sitting there trying to be, trying real hard to do what you want, that's a good dog. Touch them underneath, thump them, hold under the jaw, and then rub their chest. Good dog. Not constantly, right? Just let them know, I'm really happy with your effort here. You're doing really well. Then take it out. Okay, when you get where the dog will do that, they understand, fetch, you're going to put it in their mouth, and then they understand that they're going to just sit there and hold it. Now you want to get them to hold while moving. This is a real important part, even though I know some people, like saying now people don't do hold. I don't even know how you do this until you first teach them you got to hold it in your mouth before I start putting pressure to get it in their mouth. So, now I'm going to teach this dog that now you're going to carry it while we move. So the easiest way to do this. Now, if you have a dog that's real willing to do it, you know, still just go through this a little bit so that they understand you're going to enforce this. And some dogs, I'll tell you, they'll sit there and hold it, move with it, impossible. In their mind, for whatever reason, doesn't matter why, it's like, okay, I can hold this, but I can't hold it and move. Cannot do it. So some of them are that way. So knowing that you could have anything across the spectrum on that, know that going in, and then say, okay, so how am I going to teach this dog to move with this bumper without them spitting it out? So I'm going to try and explain my way. It's on the video that I have. So I have, when I force fetch, I have a big dummy collar, big flat collar, because that's what I'm going to use when I start the ear pinch to control the head. I just have my hand through that. There's no electricity on this, guys, at this point, at least for me, none. Dogs, when I force fetch them, aren't even collar conditioned yet, but they wear the collar all the time, right? Because that's their uniform. And then I also have a choke chain and a leash. So if I have them pinned to something, you know, whether it's the fence or I had them pinned to the pipe, clipped to the pipe. I had a little clip from the choke chain clipped onto the pipe so the dog was sitting there. You can't let them when you do this. Some dogs like to go drop their nose and drop their head. And some dogs like to do the coyote thing and have their nose straight up in the air. It's just they have some kind of, if they're holding something, it's just a weird thing for them. And they do things with their head. So know that in advance. Some dogs just want to lay down even. That's why having them clipped somewhere so they can't is very useful. And some dogs, when they do it, again, like a coyote howling, they're just straight up. So you have to use the chain, the choke chain, and either thump their, if they're wanting their head go down, make sure they're clipped somewhere so their head can't go down. And two, thump that jaw back up so that face isn't, because the next thing that comes out of that is the bumper falls out of their mouth. And if they're doing the coyote howl thing up, you know, I kind of let them do it as long as it's not crazy. But otherwise, I just move their jaw, their whole jaw, kind of in a horizontal position where it's supposed to be. So know that that could happen. But because I have the dummy collar on and I have the choke chain and the leash, okay, we're off the table now. or people can do this on the table. I never did. I always had to get down on the ground because that's how I like to do this, because we're going to move wherever we are. So now we're going to move. So the way I do it is I have the choke chain. I have the choke chain on, and I have my left hand, this dog on the left side, my left side has the choke chain or the collar at the back of their head. I'm holding on so I can keep their head up. And then I literally reach underneath the jaw, and I get hold of the choke chain on that side. So I got it both sides of their head, but it's not where it can come off, right? I've got that underneath, and I hold on to that choke chain and pull on that with a little bit of my fingers, and I have my jaw, my hand beneath their lower jaw. So I have the top of their head, and I have the choke chain underneath with the jaw, so I can keep the bumper in and also pull forwards. So I will say heel. So, and if they're going to spit it out, which I hope I did a good enough holding job, but I got the lower jaw clamped shut. They can't drop their head. They can't stick their head all up. Figure out a way, but you control them. I pull forward from underneath with the choke chain under their jaw, and then I just move them forward several feet, heel, set. So I'm literally making sure it can't fall out. And there's a variety of ways to do that without, you can actually put your hand over the upper and lower jaw, just do not restrict their breathing. And the other hand is on the leash, move them forward, heel, set. So now you go through this stuff, teaching them. First, you have to show them. You can't just expect them to do it. So you just show, I want you to heal, and that's it. And hold on to this. I like to show them. And I'll probably do that for a couple days. And I've done it a lot. So if you're not, haven't done it a lot, you might do it for a number of days until they're going, okay, and they relax holding that thing in their bumper, and they let you pull them forward and sit down. Okay, now try when you feel like, okay, they're not resisting, they're just going along with me. Hold on. They might really resist. They won't heal. They might not sit. They might just be going, I don't know what this is. I'm in a panic. Okay, that could happen. But you've got when you've got control of their head, you've got control of them. So you can actually literally pull them forward and then tell them, put them in a sit position and teach them. You're just going to hold on to this. So I've had like big, crazy males that are used to getting out of things by physically resisting because they were taught that as puppies. And so they really try to resist here. But if I control that head with both hands underneath and on top, then through the leash or through the choke chain and the collar and stuff, not literally just holding onto the dog's head, but the tools I have there, you know, then I can pull you forward 3 feet and tell you to sit. And when they learn, okay, you're not going to explode and die from just moving and holding onto this thing, right? Then they will begin to relax. And when they do, then you can just tell them heel, have that hand underneath the jaw in case you need to thump that jaw closed. And then just say, okay, see, walk along, hold, good dog. Until you can do your obedience, heel, sit, the return, right? You can do all that with this dog holding onto this bumper. The bumper you use, guys, should be convenient, not real big, you know, not real heavy. Don't do things with the barbed wire stuff and the nails. Do not do that. That makes this thing a scary thing. So just do it with the bumper, and then till you can do all of your obedience. Now, you want to make this easy on you because you're not going to be a professional dog trainer? Get where you can go do all your obedience, and the dog can sit in front of you, and you tell them to heel, and they do the front finish, like the completion of a retrieve. Practice until it just becomes habit. So even then, when you're going to go run marks or do things like that, if you are, out of habit, not even training yet, out of habit, they just come back with the bumper or the burn and sit down and wait for you to take it. And you haven't even done any of the force part yet. So that's a really nice thing to do. And then the other thing that I like to do, whenever I had dogs that were, this was just kind of really difficult for them, it was blowing their mind. Once I got them where I could do this, we go take a walk for, you know, 15 minutes. I'd go around the property, down the road, all with them carrying the bumper. If they spit it out, they have the consequence of me pinching the lips against the teeth. And I say, what are they not doing? They are not holding. So I say the word hold, and I pinch their lips against those teeth a little bit, put it in there, thump them on the bottom of the chin, and keep going. So if they do drop it 10 minutes into the walk, there will be a consequence, no major deal, but one they don't want. And then we can, until I can just do a whole walk and they relax with that thing in their mouth. Is that not a wonderful thing to do? You will never regret that, ever, because they just learn to relax with things in their mouth. I just want to discuss a little bit the importance of command and enforcement. There should never be any training pressure on a dog that is not thoroughly explained first. So if a dog spits a bumper out, and the whole world startness is always no. Dogs do not do negatives. You know, if they're up on the counter, yeah, there's a no. I mean, but when you're teaching them a response, don't teach them, that's not the response. They don't teach that. Just so if they spit it out, you don't say no, because that's your thinking. That's human thinking. What no to the dog? No what? You're thinking, no, don't spit it out. Dogs don't think the negative. They're going, no, that's a bad bumper. No, what? You know, I don't know what. They don't think what we think. So if the dog spits the bumper out, what is it not doing? It is not holding. So you say the word. Be prepared to enforce before you do it. If you spit it out, get your hand on that head thing. Say the word hold, pinch the lips against the teeth, put it back in, and then continue. Do it unemotionally and calm. Know that dogs do weird things. I told you in the prior podcast, I had one that would scream, literally scream. You would think I was pulling his eyeball out with a needle. I mean, he just screamed. And so I just pretended like that wasn't happening, and I continued, and then the screaming went away. That was his reaction to this new thing that he didn't understand. So instead of me getting nuts or mad or afraid or whatever, I just went, oh, that's a wild reaction. But anyway, we're going to continue. As long as they are not hurt, damaged, injured, or anything like that, we're just going to continue. And so if they were resistant to moving, they're still going to move because I have all the leverage. You know, I'm not the strongest. I'm a medium-sized female. You know, I can't drag big dogs around, but I can, if I have their head, I can pull them forward 3 feet and make them sit. So I just require that they do what I ask real calmly. Keep my voice calm. I do not elevate my voice because that requires that I elevate my voice for them to take me seriously. I do not want that. So everything is like fetch, hold, all of that. Fetch is always the word associated with putting it in their mouth. And drop or whatever you use is taking it out. So when you're able to walk around and do your obedience, practice your front finishes because that's what they'll do on retrieves. They need to have good obedience, obviously. We take your walk. Every now and then sit them down. Maybe sit them, throw it, have them go get it, come back, front finish, take off. Don't take it out of their mouth and just continued walking. If you are going to be a hunter or competitor, do not avoid the problems. One of the things people do in avoiding problems is, especially, you know, when they're working on this hold thing and it's all scary kind of. So as soon as the dog comes back, you grab for the bumper before they can spit it out. That way we don't have to deal with spitting out, right? Don't do that. Problem avoidance is not a training process. So that's why I like when they do have them do the obedience, have them do a front finish. Don't take it out of their mouth. Then keep going. And if you throw something for them, make them complete the finish, sit down, maybe walk a heel a few steps. They do not need to be taught that, boy, as soon as I come in and sit down, you better grab that sucker because I'm dropping it. Let them drop it then. If you're going to drop it, you're going to have the pinchy thing on the teeth with the lips, and I'm going to put it back in your mouth, and you're not going to want this. So teach them, do not do anything, a pattern over and over and over again, because then you teach them that's the pattern. I've seen so many, especially with young dogs, people, the dog comes in and sits down and they're grabbing it, you know, they're grabbing it before they spit it out. In your regular force fetch training, teach them. You just come in and sit down, and who knows, I might take it, or I might continue walking. because the last thing you want is a dog, if you're running a double or a triple or some stuff, they need to come in for you guys that are going to go to the higher levels, or even just juniors and started stuff, you know, where you know, junior hunter, I know for sure there, and in the APLA stuff. No, in junior hunter, AKC, they have to deliver to hand. I think in the HRC and the APLA, the first level, the certified and the started, I think they can set it down right by you or something. Well, don't train for that. Just train for a dog that, because again, somebody sets down your wounded bird, you lose it, which is very unsportsmanlike. Releasing wounded birds is not cool. You should get those, all games should be retrieved. So teach them to come back in and sit down. And then do not teach them that it's 3, 2, 1. It comes out of their mouth. What you ultimately want when you are competing at anything is when they come back in from run retrieve, they're not thinking about the thing in their mouth. They are thinking about the next bird they're going to go get. So if you're doing a big, just a double say, so they go get the last bird down, they come back and sit down facing the right direction, I hope, and they're just looking out for the next one. And so then you can, when they're focused on it, just take that bird down and out. And they are thinking about the next retrieve, not about the bird in their mouth, and to set it down, and it's this or that. Don't let them teach it. This is where you teach them this, a lot of them. It's just in you right now. We're doing hold and obedience. Relax. Don't. It's not all about I'll grab it and take it out. You may have it in there for a while. Just be cool. I'm telling you, that is priceless. It's so nice to run a dog in an event, or even if you're out hunting, and they come back with the bird and sit down and wait. They're not expecting anything necessarily. It could be a while, but whatever. So practice that stuff right now, and you will be very glad. See if you can take that walk, and the dog just holds it. That's going to make everything you're going to be doing next time easier. Do not talk a lot, because then, you know, then they're listening and thinking. Let them just relax into this environment of carrying this thing around and being with you. Let them relax into that. And there's no downside to taking a big walk holding a bumper. Getting exercise, time together, good obedience, and relaxing with something in your mouth. So, and don't use treats or any of that stuff here. This is a place. I had he's gone now, he's not alive anymore, but one, a really good field trial pro from Texas that I just really enjoyed. And he always said, my favorite, you know, he did the national and all that stuff. He said, my favorite part of dog training is force fetch, because I really get to know the dog. And you do, because you really, you know, this is a very unnatural thing we're getting them to do. And we're right in their face, right? And there's some discomfort involved in terms of pinching all that stuff. And if when we get to the ear pinch, there's some discomfort involved, not screaming pain or, you know, any of that. There's some discomfort involved. So we're going into, you know, it's like kind of going into the military. You know, it's like, okay, there's no mom anymore and there's no cookies. You got to kind of hunker down a little bit. And it's a little bit like that. And so you really get to know how to teach them, how they respond to pressure, how they adapt to something that's new, how to work with them, how do they think, you know, you really get to know that. And then all your further training, you take this knowledge that you've got with them and you move forward. So that's going to be, I'm going to wrap up that. So last one was just teach them to sit and hold something in their mouth and make sure that the dog has extreme clarity about what it is you are asking. That's why I don't like to combine it with a bunch of other stuff at the same time. Just that. I just want you to understand, sit, and I'm going to say fetch, and it goes in your mouth. That won't, later that'll come into play more. And you're just going to hold. And we're just going to settle into that. That was the last one. Today, it's like now we're going to be the same way. I'm going to say fetch. I'm going to put it in your mouth. And I'm going to teach you that I want you to be able to move and do basic obedience with me and walk with me and carry that in your mouth. Now, before I end up on this, I'll just say the question we always get, always, always, always is, well, my dog just always carries it by the end, by the end, you know, or by the rope. There's a lot of that, you know, people, they're very upset about how the dog is carrying it. For one, if you got a rope deal, take the rope off. Some bumpers have that little thing where the rope goes through at the end, and dogs will like to do that, or they'll just let it start to slide out the side of their mouth. And that, I always get those, oh, what do I do? Look at it. Then they keep sliding, and eventually they drop it. So there's two things going on that for people that are encountering this problem. Two things. One, if they're going to slowly drop it, I'm probably going to let them and then give them a fairly substantial consequence for that. If you want to try that stuff, go ahead, because you probably aren't going to like what happens. And so that's part of it. The bigger part of it is that, and it's really this simple, and I don't know if I have this make sense to people. When a dog is kind of carrying it by this or that, in other words, they're thinking about the thing in their mouth. They're thinking about it. They have an opinion about it. They're reflecting their opinion about it. Their mind is on that. The way that you have that not be the deal is to have their mind on something else, like heal and sit. That's the answer to the carry problem. Now, I have had a few dogs that just carried it funny, but they didn't drop it. Because it's like, go ahead, carry it funny and drop it. Because I'm going to up the ante of that consequence to one that you really don't want to have, because you know what I'm asking. I don't start that way. But if they're going to go, I'm just not into this, I'll go, well, I am, and so you're going to need to do this. And that's just from that consequence of putting it back in there. Later, when we have the ear pinch, you have that too. But it's much nicer now to see if you can just have them carry it. But so if you can, once they get where they're carrying it real well, do very demanding obedience. Enforce sit. You know, not electricity, not electricity. The mechanical means of stuff. We don't can introduce this nasty form of pressure while we're trying to get them to relax and be calm and hold the thing. So what I like to do is I'll really get after sit. I will do, if I need to, the here or the heel with the choke chain and the leash. But I will have them have their mind far more on what I'm doing and asking than they are about this thing in their mouth. So that is, in my experience, that's virtually always the answer, is if they're just thinking about how they feel about carrying this thing, I'm going to give them something else to think about. And the easiest way to do that is before you start doing obedience once you've taught them, we're going to do obedience, I can walk around, and they show you that kind of lackadaisical hold thing. Then when you go into your next session, go do some really demanding obedience. Do some enforcement, particularly on sit, even if they're doing it pretty well. Get them where they're like, wow, you're really serious today. What's the deal? Okay, I'm trying. Get their mind like that. Then go do the obedience same way with the bumper in their mouth. Give them something to think about. Do some more enforcement on sit. Do some more of that stuff. So their mind is on like, I don't know what happened, but I'm going to, wow, you're really serious about this. You'll find if you get their mind more on trying to do obedience well with you, and they'll just carry that and be carrying it and worrying about the obedience. So most of the time, if not always, that's the answer to that one. So that's today's part two on the force fetch. We will start on the fetch pressure, the force part of this, on the next session. But if you do this stuff that I've talked about in these last two, that is so much easier. And it makes retrieving already. You can go run marks, and most of the time they'll come in and heal and sit and hold just out of habit, because you've done this upfront work. No downsides to this stuff. So that's today's. Next week we'll start digging into the hard part, and I got to make sure that I explain that really well. And I just want to say, you guys really can do this. If I have so much detail to it, it doesn't mean it's hard. It just means I'm trying to get you down to the dog side of this so you understand what they're thinking and how they do stuff. Because if you do that, then you can do this, and you absolutely can. So I encourage people to at least give it a try. Don't give up. Don't give up. Like anything else worthwhile, figure it out, work through this, get good help, and you can force fetch your own dog. So that's it for this week. I will be back next week. Everybody stay healthy and happy.